Hello, everyone. This is the Easy Allies podcast. I'm your moderator, Kyle Bossman, and joining us this week, Michael Huber.
Hello.
Michael Damiani.
How's it going?
Brandon Jones.
Michael.
And Ian Hinks out, so we're on our own out here.
Yep.
We're not switching camera angles.
Four people, one camera.
Mm-hmm. Our audio levels are going to be all out of whack.
Well, that's on me, actually.
Well, Ian's like,
Jones
gets
emotional
louder.
And then
yeah.
Right.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, none of that.
None of that. No, we're one steady volume. I have instructed everyone to speak in monotone for the rest of this podcast, just to keep things nice and steady.
Games are fun.
It's time to play Glinny's Cauldron. To explain Glinny's Cauldron, we have a witch friend named Glinny. She is trusting us to help her collect ingredients because she wants to make a most vile video game. So we got to go to the weird, creepy, dark magic wizard shop, and we can buy one of two items. These are presented by our patrons, and we choose which one we'll toss into the cauldron. Okay, David Doe is selling... The character sprites in the overworld don't look like the character portraits in the menus. Samuel Hall is selling spells that inflict status effects virtually never work on bosses.
Oh,
I like the overworld.
Oh yeah.
Why?
Just something about that's like that really bugs me. You know?
You can think of a game right now where the overworld sprite doesn't look
just
like
when like. I need the good visual representation of like here's my character like the like I think of old manuals like video game manuals.
Yes.
There's really awesome.
Oh, it looks so cool right there.
Yeah.
And then you're like playing A Link to the Past. It's like what?
You're not talking about A Link to the Past. You're talking about like they're talking about the menu.
Yeah, more like an RPG.
You're talking about every Final Fantasy.
It's like
game.
Like Final Fantasy VI.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy. Yeah, they all do it.
Admittedly, a game I love. I remember like going in there and being like, "Who's was that?"
You go to that nice status to get like nice portrait photo, and then you go in the game and it's a sprite. And you're like, "Oh, that's what you're supposed to look like."
And I think we had like even like a hair color is changing here. Like probably. I think it just does not look like the sprite.
But Tom, I'm not feeling that one at all. You audibly made a noise when they mentioned the boss.
Oh yeah, I hate games where you have like debuffs and stuff that don't
never works on a boss.
It never works on a boss. It's
like they can use it to you all day long.
Fully resistant. Yeah. Fully resist. I'm like, why even bother?
Yeah.
It's like don't even want to play this game anymore.
Yeah, my hat is in that ring.
And what I also like about that one, it says virtually. So there's gonna be one or two times where
you would never know because
you've
given up by that point.
It's doom. It's our like level 5 death. That's like spam it 100 times and maybe one in 100 times it will proc and like one shot the boss.
Mm-hmm.
I love that stuff. I just play Dragon Quest XI a lot and like
love when bosses have total immunity to all
100%,
status effects?
But there's so many times, so many bosses in Dragon Quest XI where like one or two status effects are really crucial to beating them. It's awesome figuring that out.
What if they don't? What if that isn't? That's the thing is, I think boss fights are made fun by debuffs. If you can't poison them or confuse them or put them to sleep or just lower their defense, it's really just doing your rawest, hardest attacks the whole time.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you, Huber. I like it when you have to try and figure out which one will work.
Yeah.
But when they just don't work at all.
Is it all
so
of them?
Bad.
Like virtually. None of them work.
Virtually, none of them work.
Okay.
Like, I like it when you have to, like, cast Reflect on yourself, and then you reflect the spell back
baby.
On them,
oh, baby.
And then it works.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sick. Final Fantasy IX.
Sick.
Fancy trick.
That's a tough one.
I think we're going with that.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. You're outvoted, Huber,
okay,
I think.
Cool.
Well, if I got Damiani on my side, you with me?
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
Okay. Okay. Cool. So cool. We're going.
That's influencing, but.
Samuel Hall, we are buying your ingredient of spells that inflict status effects, virtually never work on bosses. Thank you. We're tossing that into the cauldron. Now time for corrections. Begin correction music, please. The white glow censoring Winnie the Pooh and Kingdom Hearts 3 screenshots was actually just a Chinese website censored those screenshots for their own website. And that's where that whole thing came about. Apparently Kingdom Hearts 3, not even that popular in China, might not even be released at all. But that website thought, you know what, I should maybe blur out Winnie the Pooh. Hugo's a grappler, not a charge character. Metroid Prime Hunters... Bloodworth was developed by NST, not NCL. Blood?
Blood's pretty dumb.
Especially when it comes to Nintendo stuff. Yeah. Like, he just can't get a thing straight when it comes to Nintendo. NCL is the name of Nintendo as a corporation, Nintendo Co. Limited. So when you say NCL, normally you're talking about Nintendo of Japan.
Right.
Whereas NST was a now defunct studio in the U.S.
Nintendo Software Technology.
Ooh. Bloodworth, you should learn from Damiani.
No, I'm pretty dumb too.
Jones, besides getting dragged for poor political knowledge, the most frequent comment I saw is that more people want to see more Fantasy Critic updates. They want more.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay, good.
They want more, dude.
All right.
They want to hear more about the Fantasy League.
Well, that's the there's a difference between a Fantasy Critic update and a Kyle Bossman update.
No, there is not.
You're not updating everybody on the technology of Fantasy Critic or how everyone else is managing their leagues.
What they said explicitly is, Kyle, please keep talking about the league.
Okay, there we go.
Who's winning? Give me the scores.
Well, the thing is, Ian's winning, but none of Ian's games have come out yet. So it's basically like this thing where it's, you know, a bunch of eggs in the basket. I'm winning.
Okay.
I'm going to win this.
Raw numbers.
I'm ruthless. Don and Ian haven't made any pickups yet, and so I'm the only one that's actually like picking up games.
Because you play fantasy all the time, so you are in that mindset. So you have the experience.
Here's the fantasy update and corrections music, please. Let me ask the panel about this.
Okay.
Outer Wilds.
Yeah.
What are you asking?
It's out there. It's free. I could buy it for $1.
I would pick it up. I trust Obsidian.
I can't comment on this.
Why?
I'll have to comment on this.
Oh, because you do reviews.
Yeah, stop this. Cease this.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Cease this right now.
I'm not reviewing that. That's such a Ben Moore review. That is 100% a Ben Moore review. Guaranteed.
The thing I'm hung up on is, I think it'll be high 80s. I just don't know if it'll come out this year. I don't feel confident that it'll come out this year.
That's release date? Okay.
And if you spend currency on that, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, then you get a solid zero.
It was on you for not knowing it was 19.
Who picked up Anthem?
Nobody. We were clean on Anthem. Wow.
Safe.
Yeah. Nobody picked up any of the big 70s that came out recently.
Okay.
We were nice about those.
Who's got Devil May Cry?
I think Ian's got Devil May Cry. So you're right. Our first Ian game coming out soon.
Yeah.
We do have more follow-ups. As I did mention, we got dragged last week, which is a good thing. This is funny. Last Friday, I was talking to Ian. I was like going through the comments. I was kind of in a bad mood. I'm like, man, the comments are really trashing on us. And Ian goes, oh, because we were mean to THQ? And I'm like, no, because we weren't hard enough on THQ. We weren't hard enough on China, right? Like, the comments were just like, man, you guys, not hard enough on this, not hard on this. And so it's like, you know what? If our audience is too compassionate, good problem to have. Or doesn't think we are compassionate enough. So I got a lot to get through. Let's talk about China first. Let's talk about Devotion. Excuse me. It took forever to think of that title. Okay, so...
Heard about this game. I want to play this.
Yeah.
I don't really know about it. I just know there's...
Hubert, you can't download this game right now.
Yeah, that's all I know is like, oh, that looks cool. It got good reviews. Oh, I can't play it.
Right.
Moving on.
So yeah, if you missed last week's podcast, we talked about how Red Candle Games, developer in Taiwan, had delisted their game Devotion because it had anti-China Easter egg in it. And so a lot more information came to light, or maybe it was already there and I just didn't read it. It's the latter. And so I know a lot more about the scenario today. So here's the thing. Like, basically it looks like on the surface, simple free speech issue, right? Like, oh, you criticize Xi Jinping in your game with an Easter egg. China pressures you to delist the game. And then that's it, right? It's just like, China, come on, dudes.
Yeah.
But like, it's actually like way more than that. So this game, by Red Candle Games, their previous game, Detention, is another horror game. Had like some undertones of like, basically what's happening in Taiwan. And the relation to China. This one actually much clearer undertones. It's not just the Easter egg. It's not just this thing that says Xi Jinping is Winnie the Pooh, your mother, whatever. It is basically like character names and general theming. Like, this thing is about the relationship between China and Taiwan in the 80s. And it became clear after a certain point. Here's what else I learned. Red Candle teamed up with a Chinese publisher to publish the game in China. Let me think. Get that name. It's indie something. Anyway, so there's a lot of layers to this. So here's what's happening. And I think this is all interesting. It's why I want to like bring it up again. I'm sorry, I can't find where I wrote down the title of the Chinese publisher. It is illegal in China to put Xi Jinping's name in any video game. So, like, the law was broken, right? Like, it's complicated there. To me, it's like there's two layers to this. And I'm going to stop summarizing. This is, like, if you want my baseline video game opinion here, sticking to video games. If you want to sell a video game in China and you want to make money, you should not criticize Xi Jinping in that video game. If you're teaming up with a publisher to publish your game in China and you think you're sneaky and it's funny, sure, maybe, like, that's what you're going for. But if you intend to continue sustaining business with China, if you want that market, like, you broke the law and you, like, you got the publisher in trouble, right? Like, basically, because of all the other things that this game is about, I'm less likely to believe that the Easter egg was incidental, that it was a pure accident, because there are just too many other things about this game that are, like, attacking China. You can attack China in your video game. We can attack China on this podcast. The thing is, like, you can't want their business, right? The reason that China attacked back is that they were trying to sell this game in China. They were teaming up with Chinese streamers. And basically, that was, like, it's the two things. Like, this criticism exists in this game because it is a Taiwanese game and their feelings toward China, who, you know, wants to take over the country. It wants that country to be a part of China. And Taiwan is a largely free democratic country. And also, I mean, China only attacked it because the game came from Taiwan and because the game was trying to, it was like a Trojan horse, right? They felt betrayed by it. I looked at the review bombing, and while I believed last week it was mostly bots, I don't believe that this week. Like, you read it, it is people who are on Steam, have many games, have played this game for hours and hours. Detention is the one I looked at. Detention's been review bombed. And they are, I didn't realize this exists. Do you know, like, a stereotypical, like, don't mess with the U.S.? There is that people for China, like, don't mess with China. Like, I see those comments, like, there's only one China. Yeah. I'm like, whoa, so China has those too. And they absolutely do. They're absolutely offended that they this developer would try to sneakily get them to play this game that is about how Chinese government is comparable to a cult, is basically what Devotion was all about under the layers of this horror story. That's sick. That's what horror is about, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Horror is about allegories. Yes. Horror is not always just about, like, and then a demon makes blood come out of his butt, right? Like, it's just like,
meaning.
It all has meaning, right? But, like, the complicated thing is the reason this became a drama is because they tried to sell it and market it toward China and apologized immediately and took it down. Red Can, like, I'm having a hard time feeling sympathy for Red Candle.
I want to read, or I'm curious what Red Candle thinks now. Kind of like, I would love to read a statement from them looking back on the whole experience and being like, here's what happened, here's what we wanted to have happened, here's what we expected to happen, and here's what we're going to do now.
Last we heard
because
of
them. Because to me, I tried to communicate this last week, that just it seems like two different messages, where it's like, we wanted, like, Trojan horse is an interesting, you know, comparison, where you're like, we, you know, we wanted this to get in front of people's eyes in China. We wanted this to be a story. We wanted this to be a headline.
Yeah.
We're upset that it got taken out of the store. And it's kind of like, which outcome did you want? Because it seems like you wanted both. Or
last
I don't,
we heard
confusing.
From them, Jones, is like, they're going to take out any political messages out of the game entirely. Right? Like, it's just like they back down entirely. They're like, no, we didn't mean that. We just wanted to make a horror game.
I can't think of a specific example right now, but when games have different publishers in different regions, I wish they had gotten, like, another publisher to handle the other continents.
Exactly,
you know?
When we talk about
Rainbow
Six Siege,
this Chinese one goes down, it's like, well, we tried. We got the Trojan horse in there with our commentary.
Yeah.
It failed, but everywhere else in the world, here you go.
Right. So, but right now, you cannot play Trojan.
Yeah,
And so, I mean, there's a larger conversation to have about this issue existing in the first place. That in China, you can't publish a game with the president's name in it, right? But, like, that is, to me, not a video game issue. That is a strictly political issue.
Yeah.
And we have a politics podcast for that. It is exclusive to patrons who give $10,000 or more a month. We have one listener.
Yeah.
But, like, just that's not the purpose of this podcast, to, like, talk about the Chinese government, because like it, there were like politics wars in the comments last week, and not even wars, honestly, like pretty respectful conversations comparatively. Like it was a lot of people are just like, dude, just stay out. But like you learn through making mistakes. I made a big old mistake last week, but like I learned a lot more about this issue. We have Chinese listeners who are like, here's our perspective on this, and I get it. I learned more about this game. It is more than just like a little Easter egg that may have been accidental.
I had a couple of very gracious DMs where they were like, you're wrong, but here's why.
Really?
Like, oh, thank you. You know, but they were very respectful. And
yeah.
So, yeah.
Cool. Yeah. The other thing I feel bad about is the THQ Nordic thing we talked about last week. Is that I guess I feel bad for buying into the apology so easily. Just like, hey, I didn't know what I was doing. It was just like clearly false because of everything else leading into it. I was fortunate to see some screen caps of what happened on 8chan. If you missed last week's podcast, THQ Nordic, the publisher, not the holding company, had an AMA, Ask Me Anything, on 8chan.
How long has this site been around?
8chan?
Yeah.
There's an answer to that. It's not that long, dude.
Okay.
It's like 2014, 2015.
Oh, okay.
What?
No, I don't know how long it's been around. I mean, you know what HN is.
I do now because of the story.
Exactly, dude. Like, I had no idea before the story.
Yeah, it's where all the shit that wasn't allowed on 4chan had to go flee and make their own little site to do that. So
right.
That's really like red flag number one.
Yeah.
Right. And so basically red flag number two was THQ. They made their tweet. And then like red flag number two was like all the responses that said, don't do this. And they're like, nah, we're doing it anyway, bros. And why I say bros is reading how it was more than just this one person. It was three separate THQ employees in this thread, how cool they were trying to be, how they were in this thread trying to like use swear words, trying to be in with these cool 8chan kids. You see it there. I lost my sympathy. It's like, this is no accident. You are in here. You're responding to these things. You are seeing these things and you are staying here for the full hour. And so I lost that. They lost the benefit of the doubt. I won't get too into like judging them, I guess. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read the official apology that came from the CEO of the holding company. I guess I'll open it to the panel because I feel like Damiani's got a take on this.
Yeah, a good update. Yeah, the actual like parent company is doing an internal investigation. Who knows what that will turn up and what they'll do about that.
Right.
But I mean, I'm sorry, I can't think of it as any more than complete bullshit when you issue an apology and the person who issued the apology, that Philip, whatever his name is, don't really care.
The PR marketing head.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And in that thread, which like had screen caps and like when it was up, essentially is literally doing the things they are apologizing for. Like, you are completely full of shit. Your apology is not genuine whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like, you are, like, laughing it up, embracing that aspect that, you know, you should have no business going into.
Right.
And you think you're having a good time. And you didn't even just turn around and go, like, I think their apology was almost, like kind of, like, mocking. Like, I read it as a tone as, like, we can just apologize and get away with this. And we're going to, like, put our heads in the sand.
Do you mean Phillips or the one I'm about to read today?
No, the Phillips one.
Okay, got it.
It's like, we're going to apologize because people be gullible and believe our apology.
Yeah.
Then we'll shut up for a while and everyone will forget about it and we'll go about our business.
It was the easy apology. It was like, look,
oh, yeah.
I don't support child porn. I don't support Nazism. I was just on a message board. It was that. That was the apology, right? So it's just... I'm going to read this apology just for the sake of the audience and everything we learned last week. So this is from Lars Wingefors, the founder and CEO of THQ Nordic AB. AB is a holding company. GmbH is the publishing company. All right. This letter is to offer my sincerest apologies and regret for THQ Nordic GmbH Vienna's interaction with the controversial website 8chan last Tuesday, February 26th. I condemn all unethical content this website stands for. Even if no one within the THQ Nordic group would ever endorse such content, I realize simply appearing there gave an implicit impression that we did. As co-founder and group CEO of THQ THQ Nordic AB. I take full responsibility for all of THQ Nordic GmbH's actions and communications. I have spent the past several days conducting an internal investigation into this matter. I assure you that every member of the organization has learned from this past week's events. I take this matter very seriously, and we will appreciate action to appropriate action to make sure we have the right policies and systems in place to avoid similar mistakes in the future. As a Swedish-based, fast-growing group, we firmly support equality and diversity. We are also working actively to combat discrimination, harassment, and misconduct. We are already in the process of developing new work processes based on the United Nations SDGs Sustainable Development Goals and are using the GRI Global Reporting Initiative standards, and we will accelerate this work going forwards. Boom. That's it.
People need to be held accountable at the end of the day. You know, how do you do that? You attack their livelihood or their wallets or something. Like when a MLB player uses steroids, he gets suspended and fined and he loses money. But when shit like this happens, it's just like, sorry.
So let me ask you this, Hubert.
2 weeks later, everyone forgot. All right, moving on.
I agree.
You know? And so like even CD Projekt Red with their like shady tweets here and there, it's like, what are the consequences?
That person was fired.
So that something of that nature should go down with this, because this seems like equally as bad or like worse.
Sure. Let me ask you this, Hubert, because I was thinking about that.
Yeah.
In the future on this very podcast, should I overlook THQ Nordic Games? Should I just talk about other news instead?
That's where it gets really hard.
Yeah.
Because it's like, are all the employees that worked on Darksiders 3 scum? Are they all bad?
So here's my rationale. It's like, this is, again, we talk about this a lot more on the politics podcast, but, basically, Huber, if you use that rationale of just like, oh, but you're ruining their lives, the lives of the children involved with child porn are ruined way worse, right? Those are the lives ruined.
Yeah.
And so those are the lives that you have to respect the most.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this kind of thing, I guess until an appropriate action is taken, right? Like that is like, you can't look at like, oh, their lives are kind of ruined if we don't talk about them on the podcast. It's like, that was not the largest crime here, right?
Yeah.
Like, and so I think that's the rationale you have to use. But again, I don't know. I guess I'll like ask the comments again. Like, how do you feel? What do you want me to cover on this podcast going forward? It's complicated, man.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things about how we potentially fumbled this last week is that like, we're not going to solve these issues here at this desk, but like, I do kind of want to try to get a takeaway. Like, what can we learn from this?
Mm-hmm.
And to take it back to the Taiwan versus China, you know, debate. Like, if I was a developer in Taiwan and I was kind of doing the same thing, like I had a game ready to go that was like a little bit edgy and I wanted, you know, people in China to check it out and kind of make up their own opinions about it. Like, what do I do? Like, do I just follow Devotion's lead and then get it banned, but at least I got it in there? Or do I take it out and kind of mitigate those, you know, issues so that it will kind of fly under the radar and maybe not be as obvious? Or, you know, like, what's the next step? You know, so that's why.
Yeah.
That's why, I had those opinions. That's what I was trying to get to the bottom of. It's just like, what does this mean now for you know, either this company to move forward or... Because that's the thing. THQ Nordic and Red Candle, like, it's going to be really hard to forget this.
Yes.
Like, you know, a year and a half from now or something, when you mention Red Candle, it's like, wait a minute. Didn't they?
I mean, yes. So, let's say you're making a Marvel movie, right? You can't criticize China because you want to make money in China.
Sure.
But, like, I'm all about, like...
I mean, you can't... It's you do whatever you want. It's just not... It's not a smart business decision.
They don't, right? And that's basically...
If you have to pay employees and, you know, cinematographers and special effects people and stuff, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it sucks, man. Because I'm all in for art that is trying to make a statement.
Definitely.
Right? And so it's just, like... I'm even art for that's like subversive, that is saying something beneath its surface, right?
Especially horror that's making a statement.
Yeah, and so, man, that's
good stuff.
Two weird things.
I'm glad you brought it up again, though, because we should not forget.
Yeah, a lot of people are just
hold
like...
Hold people accountable, dude.
I know. Like, a lot of comments are just like, man, just don't even talk about it ever again. Like, I know I blew it again. I know there are more comments coming again. I know it. I'm ready for them. This is how we learn. We make dumb mistakes and we move forward. Just, you know, put up with me, please.
So wait, there were screen grabs of them having a conversation like we're going to...
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Immediate termination.
Yeah, and I mean, like...
Immediate, dude! What are you waiting for?
And, like, none of them
are, gone, like... You're gone! Dude, you're gone! Sorry, it's, like, it's clear as day to me, dude.
Yeah, I mean, there's just some... There's some questions they just should have chosen not to respond to. Like, ask me anything doesn't mean I will respond to everything, right? Yeah. So it's just, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Send me more comments. I'm ready for them. Just bring them on. Another update, though, that's actually kind of interesting... We have more warring of the Microsoft insiders. Just on last week's podcast, we were talking about how exciting it would be that Xbox Game Pass would be coming to Switch. And we had heard from so many insiders it was obviously happening. We have a new insider, Brad Sams. You're like, who is Brad Sams? Me too. No discredit to Brad Sams. I had to like look it up a little bit. He is or has been in the past a legitimate Microsoft insider. He did have like... inside knowledge on like Scorpio. He had the image before it showed up at E3 of what the actual console looked like. So things like that. He has legitimate knowledge and has shown that in the past. He says it's not happening. No Game Pass on Switch. Definitely not soon. Definitely not in the near future. But it's like it's not even like a strong whiff of it happening right now. That's kind of a bummer because like we were all in. We were like, oh, dude, it's happening. It's definitely happening. Can't wait for it. It makes total sense. This is absolutely happening. And then to hear one person say, no, it's not, I'm like, wait, is it not? You know what I mean? All it takes is one person to be like, nah, it's not happening, dude. I'm like, you're right, it's not. I guess I'm very flexible in my beliefs when it comes to this.
You got to be careful with Nintendo rumors. I'm telling you.
You're right, you'll Damiani.
Have
this
time and time again, you'll have multiple sources saying, I've heard.
And they're
certain. And... Yeah. Some are right, some are wrong. Yeah. Like there's no difference here. And correct me if I'm wrong, but part of the update also said that they also believe that while the Games Pass is like not anytime in the near future, you believe that they are Nintendo and Microsoft are in discussions about something.
They're up to something.
They're up to something, yes. Just doesn't know what.
I bet it's Ori. I bet really like Ori will come out on the Switch this year. So whether it's Blind Forest or the new one, like I bet it's coming.
It'll be Ori and the Blind Forest coming to Switch with a Ori stage in Smash Brothers with that Banjo reveal.
Mm, okay. Hey, Banjo would be great.
No, but like Smash Brothers could be like a legit thing. Like like Minecraft.
Oh, yeah, because like what's Steve?
The whole Minecraft rumor.
Yeah.
That was one of the leaks that people say, oh, it's definitely going to happen. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But I mean, I feel like Nintendo and Microsoft, this has been, I feel like there has been some kind of like, we kind of want to work with you. Like it goes back to the Wii 60 thing. Remember when they were like teaming up, like Reggie and
they were
and
not Bill? Teaming up.
They were like, Reggie was like, we love this idea. Like Wii 60. Like they were like, sure. Like more sales of our systems and stuff.
I want to hand you the prove it ticket that the words Wii 60 came out of Reggie's mouth.
Oh, well, look it up.
He did not say prove it ticket. Yeah, here's the prove it. We haven't used it in a long time. It's still there to our listeners. We have a big word
for me
ticket.
Personally, for my personal opinion.
Yeah.
I feel like in that generation there was some kind of like buzz behind that. Even if I'm going to be wrong here, but we'll find out. Even if I was wrong, I feel like the community at large embraced that.
It was absolutely a community.
And
thing,
I feel like Microsoft and Nintendo looked at it like. Maybe there is something here. And I feel like ever since then, there have been like rumors and whispers of they might be doing something together. Here's like this, you know, next rumor of them working, usually involved like Rare stuff for, you know, N64 Classic. Hey, to get Banjo and stuff on it. That never came to fruition. Mm-hmm. There's Smash Brothers now. We got like this. Like, is Minecraft coming? Is Banjo coming? Like, what's going to happen and stuff? And you know what? I think there is something. If it's not Games Pass, I bet they are working on something, and I'm hopeful. I would love to see something by the end of the year if this is true.
Sure.
Like, I just don't want to be like, I don't want my heart to be, you know, go through these games again where it's this tease and it's nothing comes true.
I mean, there was so much smoke. I have to assume it was something like meetings, right? And it was meetings where Microsoft really thought they were going somewhere, and then Nintendo just said, no. Like, thanks for talking to us. Thanks for showing us your proposals, but no. Like, that's what I have to assume this was all about.
Yeah. What's a pretty sweet rumor to have floating around about either company?
Yes, it was so sweet.
If this is really going to happen, I'm going to need my Xbox Games Pass to get access to all of these games, and I'm going to need my Switch to take the games on the go. Win-win.
Yeah.
So it was even if it doesn't happen, even if we get some announcement, Steve and, you know, or Minecraft and Smash, we're like, oh, okay, maybe that was it.
Mm-hmm.
This one person's going to be like, no, that was the beginning of it. Just wait.
Yeah, and it's coming later. The whole generation,
it's
man.
Coming when the next Xbox comes, and then we'll, you know.
Man, I'm just thinking about THQ still. I'm sorry.
All right.
What do you want? Because
at worst, it is gross negligence. At worst, like, or at best, I mean, at best.
Wow.
You're so negligent.
Yes.
Just crazy. Crazy to me. And then I compared it to CD Projekt Red. Like, this is way worse.
Don't give this guy the final word.
Way worse.
In what way? I mean, let's go back to it real quick.
Child pornography, man. Like, come on.
Right. But, like, yeah.
It's crazy, dude.
So, like, that wasn't on the page they were on, right?
Yeah. But it is a place where that goes down?
Yes.
Yes.
And it's a place where you would know that if you Googled it. You would know that right. very quickly.
Like, immediately.
You, yes.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing. Is yeah, we got a lot of comments are just like, why are you so judgmental about 8chan? So like, it's just like, go to Wikipedia and edit it if you don't think it's true. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just like, don't come to us and be like, why am I judgmental about the Wikipedia article that explains what 8chan is? You know what I mean? It's just like, we just have to take their word for it. What's up, Damiani?
Okay, sorry. So I don't have proof that he actually said the phrase Wii 60, but was asked about the concept of it,
yeah,
and said Reggie's answer was, I basically would prefer them people buy our consoles and accessories than buying competitor. But Perrin Kaplan, remember working a PR for Nintendo back during that era, was open to the idea, but also did not utter the phrase Wii 60. Question was always phrase a pairing of Xbox 360 and Wii.
Gotta respect Reggie. He wasn't having it.
That's a win for Kyle.
Don't buy that Xbox. Yeah, that is a win. Hey, we're hog. Are we all excited to finally talk about new news, as we are a half hour into the podcast?
Yes.
Sure.
Great. Do you remember my favorite way to start a podcast?
Game announcement.
Getting dragged by the comments.
But,
the game announcement, we had a Pokemon game announcement just last week.
Right.
Isn't that nuts?
Yeah.
A whole new Pokemon game, Jones.
We watched a video where you were all excited about it.
Yeah. Jones, what's it called?
Pokemon Sword.
Oh, okay. So it's just one?
It's just one game called Pokemon Sword. Looks pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
They have like some DLC or something called Pokemon Shield that maybe is coming out later, but Pokemon Sword's the one that I'll be picking up.
Tell me what...
And I bet you're getting Score Bunny, aren't you?
Getting what?
Score Bunny.
Oh, of course. Oh, yeah.
Sword and Score Bunny.
Wait, what are you getting?
Getting Shield and Grass.
Nice.
The battle line has been drawn, what? Jones.
Wait, hold on. Its name's not Grass.
The Grass one.
Grookey.
Grookey.
Okay.
Didn't know how to pronounce it.
The Grass one.
The Grass.
Your passion for this Pokemon is not bowling me over.
I don't even know his name because I love him so much.
Which starter are you picking?
Oh, we're all picking Sobble.
Yeah. So here our panel has all three starters, which makes this pretty interesting. Yes. But like, I guess it's not an unfair place to start framing this discussion.
I love this idea. Okay, because I think it's here at Easy Allies, one thing that I really want to spend my time here in this company experimenting with is the idea that we can make fun of each other well. You know what I mean? Like, we can understand like the context of how we're being silly, that we can say things potentially they're antagonistic, or we can, you know, like kind of, you know, joke with each other, but we understand it. It's all in good fun. We test those limits, and when we hit those limits, don't run away from them, but understand them and go, okay, cool.
Yes.
That was the line. I won't cross that again. There's just something about starter Pokemon that's so important and so ridiculous at the same time. It means nothing, but it means everything. And it's something where everybody sees and immediately knows what they want, and then immediately everything else is terrible.
To me, I
cherished every reply I got to my tweet that they were like, Score Bunny's the wrong answer.
And you're going to torch them. You're going to burn them up. Yeah.
To me, it's like archetypes. It's like, I'm looking at Score Bunny like too cool for the other Pokemon. The water one is like the shy, like introverted one. Mm-hmm. And then the grass one is just like jolly, happy-go-lucky.
Yeah.
So it like, who depending on which
to the
you
top
pick.
Of the buildings because he thinks he's better than everybody
else.
No,
he's just like hanging out up there.
I do feel like the rabbit.
Over all the other Pokemon.
I feel like the rabbit and the monkey are both jolly and happy-go-lucky.
Yeah, but the rabbit has the Band-Aid, dude. Like, he's some fighter.
Oh, yeah, man.
No, it's not like he's a fighter.
That's not confirmed.
He's been bopped on the nose a couple times.
Yeah.
He's too cool.
Okay. So we have to reel back big time. Anyone has not heard about Pokemon Sword and Shield yet. Because what happened last week, we had a Nintendo Direct, sorry, a Pokemon Direct dedicated to this game announcement. They went straight into it. This whole 7 minutes was basically dedicated to this game in its entirety. And the reason why I think our panelists are talking about starters before anything is that was basically the crux of the announcement. Basically, what I would say the announcement was, there's a new Pokemon game. This is the title. These are the three Pokemon you can choose from in the beginning. And this is the region, the name of the region and what it looks like. Obviously, I think that the appearance of the game is the first impression that you get of it. Yeah. But if I'm to do bullet points of the announcements, that would be it. Coming late 2019, I think it's safe to assume November. Count on it. Mark your calendars.
This is one of those things where the internet hive mind has made me care more about starter Pokemon. Like, it's a thing.
Yeah.
I didn't really know until now. Where it's like, you gotta pick one. The battle lines, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, at the end of the day, you know, we joke, Jones, because we're family. But, like, at the end of the day, it's three starters, man. Just pick your starter.
So I'm confused.
It's not a big deal.
I'm confused about the joking stuff. Like, Bloodworth is dumb, right?
I mean, from experience, yeah. Bloodworth can only say so many dumb things, you know what I mean? Before you just give up. So, again, you got to find those limits. You got
to
test
exactly,
them.
That's the thing. So to me, the reason why I say this, the reason why I say those are the three announcements is, to me, it's a very regular video game, Pokemon announcement. It's, hey, use this framework for what you expect of a Pokemon game and insert these things into it. And that's what Pokemon Sword and Shield is.
Yeah, and it sucks because they do leave little gaps in there for like, ooh, maybe something else is happening. Oh, I saw a little shot here. Maybe that's going to be a little something. Mm-hmm. Like, what if none of that is anything? What if, like, in the next Pokemon announcement, they're just like,
I've been there.
Here we go. And those big buildings, they're gyms. And that jersey you saw him in, he just wears that when he battles. And you're like, oh, okay.
And the seven dwarfs mine.
There's no soccer minigame. Yeah. No. Like, oh, yeah.
It's like, can you mine for gems in that like cool cave that they're walking through? Or like,
just a cave, bro.
You just walk through.
I've been there. I've been seeing like tiny Pokemon things and making the grandest assumptions of what they are. I've absolutely been there before.
I had a question for you, Kyle.
Yeah.
Do any Pokemon ever have a sword or a shield? I was thinking of Ni No Kuni.
Familiars have them.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have any Pokemon, though?
There is a Pokemon that is a sword. It evolves into two swords, and then evolves into this Pokemon that can choose to be attack mode or defense mode. Can be a shield or a sword.
Dude.
Do
you think that Pokemon will be in this game? Or no?
They'll all be in this game, man. But yeah, I bet you're right. I bet it'll be in like the before the credits part of the Pokedex. Absolutely. Yeah. Pokemon who hold a sword or shield, though, is like an optional item. Like, Farfetch'd is the best I can come up with, man. Farfetch'd has a leak that it uses to slap people with as if it's a sword. I think it's referred to as like a sharp blade sometimes. Cool. But yeah, maybe some Pokemon have swords with hands. But no, here's the nice thing that transitions into, Huber. Unsatisfied as I was by the intrigue of this video game announcement, you know, normally my imagination is going crazy. Mm-hmm. Here I'm kind of like, okay, I get it. All right. A 4chan post, and this is not Easy Eyes endorsing 4chan over 8chan. Let me just say this is where this information came from. That came in the 21st of February 2019, so before this announcement happened, posted these things. This is it. Believe it now or later. Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield. That's true. That happened. Region is Great Britain. That's true, too. Legendary Pokemon are Metal Snake and Wooden Horse. That could be feasible.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Metal Snake.
And
I see what they did there.
Which is weird because the wolves are in the Sword and Shield logo.
Yeah.
So I'm curious how wolves factor into it.
Yeah, there's also a wolf on that castle. There'll be some wolf stuff. But here's where I got excited. Armored Evolutions. And this is why I think this leak piques my curiosity. Is every new Pokemon game has a dumb new mechanic. Mega Evolutions. Z moves, Ultra Beasts. I shouldn't say every new, but like it's been happening for a while. I believe Armored evolutions is a likely new mechanic of this game. If you got those other things right, I'm willing to believe that you have some insider info. You could just be pulling our leg here. But I love this. So, armored Charizard.
Sold.
How sick would that be?
Armored evolution. Charizard. That would be very sick.
Dude.
Armored Mewtwo. I've been wanting that since 98.
But give me some, like, Naruto-style armor. Not, like, plate mail on Mewtwo. Give me some, like... cool, like make him look like not like the ninja one, Greninja, but like something like that, like Mewtwo with like a sick scarf or something.
That's not armor. Naruto does not wear armor,
dude. They're like, or like some Dragon Ball Z
like flak jackets.
Yeah, something like that.
Armored Flygon. Raise your hand if you know who Flygon is.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, it's, you know what? It's not as exciting as it would sound.
Snorlax.
No armored Snorlax, but armored Zorora. Raise your hand if you know Zorora. All right.
Jones?
Nope.
But anyway, so we got two out of four. It's nice. But anyway, I love the idea of this armored Pokemon. Last bullet point. Meltan ties into armored evolution and legendary lore. So Meltan is the Pokemon that was shown off first in Pokemon Go. Little goop with a little nut for a head. Kind of like... this all makes sense to me. I think this is going to be the new interesting mechanic of Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield.
I have a crazy mechanic for you. Doc Brown Spider-Man's monster.
Bring it on, dude.
Your trainer can transform into a Pokemon.
No.
Doc Brown Spider-Monster.
No,
don't stop. That's there,
the
thing,
after the credits, your trainer is just like...
Yes. But here's the thing, Huber. That's what a Dr. Brown Spider-Monster is supposed to be. You're not supposed to want it.
Yeah.
It's just something you're going to be talking about. Yeah, exactly. You nailed it. I would. That's the thing, is that's what I want, Huber. I wanted to be
crazy
shocked.
Crazy like that.
I wasn't shocked. I wasn't angry. I was just meh about this announcement. Sure, let people turn into Pokemon.
Yeah, Kyle multiple times has told me that if a movie gets a 10 or like a 2, he's in. But if it gets like a 6 or 7, he's hard out.
Yeah. Meh is
the worst.
What am I going to be talking about on the way home?
Yeah, exactly, man. What, like, you got to... shake us. Shake me. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if the panel cares about armored evolutions or what that would lead to, but I mean, I guess I'm curious, before we move on, like, I know I like to talk about video game media a lot, right? Like, I like to talk about the marketing around video games a lot. I think Jones does too. We get hooked up in it. Jones, Pokemon's one of the biggest franchises in video games. Was this new game announcement to the proper scale of this video game?
Oh, I don't know the video game you're talking about.
It's Pokemon Sun and Sword and Shield.
I've never played that game. I don't know. We're not going to know that until launch, so it's hard to say.
No, you've seen a good launch. You've seen a good announcement.
What effect has it had? I mean, I can speak to that.
Yeah,
but
you've,
like,
seen a good video game.
Does it represent
before?
This game? Well, I don't know. You know, I don't know how much of a departure this is going to be. Personally, one of the things that I'm looking forward to, like, what I hope in the next announcement is this, like, Galarian types. I don't know if specifically what you would call them, but like how we had Alolan Pokemon. Like, I would assume that would carry over into this. I hope they don't throw that away.
Yeah,
I loved having different
British versions of Pokemon.
Of them, especially with all of like the fashion styles you could do with Eevee and Pikachu. It'd be fun if like
Sherlock Holmes
had a little cap on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I was thinking
Detective Pikachu.
I was thinking the great mouse detective. It'd be fun if like they had like long mustaches or something. Just something silly, like to fit into the zone. But yeah, I think there's nothing really. I think the main thing that, from what I can tell, that frustrates people about this announcement is they just want more news. Mm. I don't think there's anything that they've seen other than, you know, you didn't get that MMO open Breath of the Wild, like, magnificent, you know, best-looking game on Switch.
Right, yeah, I don't want to talk about the game itself like that.
So
yeah,
that didn't happen. But other than that, I can't really think of anything that's like, well, you know, now I'm not interested in this game. I think it just kind of set the foundation for more announcements that they could add on to it.
So let me, like, there was another game announcement of a hugely established franchise earlier this year that we praised, which was Mortal Kombat 11. The announcement of Mortal Kombat 11 and the announcement of Pokemon Sword and Shield, very different. Do we feel like each was the best for each game, or should Pokemon adopt like a different announcement style?
Talking about like a live event with like
Gameplay. It was a live event with a gameplay blowout, and then people were playing that game that day.
The trailer came out before that, right? The cinematic trailer.
You're right. That happened
was
at
like
the
a
Game
few
Awards.
Days before.
No, like way
oh,
before
the Game
that
Awards.
Was Game Awards. Yeah.
You gotta say like one thing against it. Like I don't see you being able to play Pokemon at like an announcement event. That's I think that's the type of game. I forget if we had this conversation already, but. The most recent one, Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee, I think made for a good demo at E3 and good hands-on because of the gimmick of the Pokeball, like in your hand. That's what they're having everyone try. Otherwise, there was nothing really unique about that demo. And I think RPGs have the hardest time showing at events.
Especially as opposed to a fighting game.
Oh, yeah. Definitely opposed to a fighting game because it takes so much time to digest everything, especially if the more new mechanics, the more new things it does, the more you have to like spend time with it to understand it and how many people are there, how long you'd be waiting. Like it's not very conducive, I feel, to a public event in terms of like playing the game. So on that front, I don't think that they will ever do that, or should they should even try to approach that. In terms of a live event, I guess that could be a bigger deal. Like if they did something like in Japan, like had like a huge audience and stuff, and you get to hear like the cheering and stuff. I mean that has been Nintendo's MO for a while. They went away from live things to go to direct style presentations.
I mean, this had nothing to do with Nintendo.
I got it.
What?
But still same style.
There's just too many Pokemon for me.
It's
overwhelming.
Over 800, dude.
When you
are you ready for 900?
That's why when these starters came, it was like, all right, they're fun, whatever, but it's just more Pokemon.
Yeah.
Treat it like a fighting game where you reveal some new ones like every week or something leading up to launch or like every couple days and really blow it out to get us attached to each one.
So
to make it a big deal. You're making the Pokemon themselves a big deal.
I feel like Pokemon has the most low-budget marketing budget compared to how big of a like massive success this game is of any franchise in video games. Franchise success to marketing budget ratio is off with Pokemon. And here where they tried to do the thing you're just talking about with Sun and Moon. There was not one Pokemon in the game that wasn't already exposed. I mean, there probably is one. Ahead of time.
Okay.
Like even the Alolan forms, they did those things on Twitter. Just like, here's Alolan Dugtrio.
Yeah.
But it was just like the dorkiest, dumbest, low-budget video.
Yeah.
The thing is, it doesn't matter, man.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It's crazy.
It doesn't
it's
matter.
It's hard to say
it.
Any of this is wrong when they just are met with enormous success every time.
Right. There's also the danger too, Huber, is if you kind of do like the advent calendar approach where it's just like every day there's another thing. By day 11, you're just like, I'm done.
Too much.
You know, I'm not interested. But that is the comparison that I wanted to draw between this and Mortal Kombat is, yes, Mortal Kombat 11 was playable and this game was not, and Mortal Kombat 11 had that edge on it, but they still only had four or five playable characters there at the demo, and so now we're slowly getting more.
They had way more than four.
More roster, but they're slowly revealing more characters. They have revealed more characters since that announcement.
Yeah.
So there is that. Like they're not going to show everything, you know, at the reveal. They just how Mortal Kombat feels, how any fighting game feels, especially if there's the potential to really change up the systems. I think when I cut the preview, that was like the first thing Ben said. It was like, all right, how does it feel? And he's like, weird pace issues, a lot of projectiles. Mm-hmm. It's difficult to get in close. And like, that's the difference between me being like, you know, Ronda Rousey's in it, what? Versus I want to hear an opinion of someone who was there because they actually played it.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, if somebody had actually played, you know, Sword and Shield, like, oh, how does it feel? Is maybe not the first question that I would ask. I would be like, oh, what weird Pokemon did you bump into? Or can you move the camera? Or, you know, and I think, I think it was enough information. I can't really, I don't know. There wasn't anything glaring that jumped out at me other than just expectations that I had because we're just waiting around for so long. They announced, you know, so many months ago that there was this Pokemon game coming that we were going to get it on Switch. So
a year ago,
All we can do is just sit around and be like, well, this would be fun. Mm-hmm. And then you see that video and it's like, okay, well, I'll just cross all of those things off my list and just accept what this is. Doesn't mean this is bad.
Yes.
It just means, oh man, it's been a while.
I liked it, but it was safe.
It's
and that's how Pokemon has been forever.
Yeah. You know? Like, the Pokemon company is all about controlling the message.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they want to rattle the cage too much because they have a good thing. And I think that's why you see their strategy as it is. But, I mean, there was one thing in there that I think maybe alluded to. Maybe some things are coming. Yes, the reveal wasn't Breath of the Wild Pokemon. But they said there are changes coming to the game. But they said, like, we'll be talking about those at a later date.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
armored Pokemon.
There's yeah, it might be as simple as just some gimmick like that, you know. Usually I err on the side of they're going to be more conservative than going, like, more radical with, like, you know, their changes.
Mm-hmm.
But they still, in my opinion, we were talking about this before it happened, Kyle, and I remember you saying you were, like, expecting some artwork and, like, maybe of, like, one of the starters and maybe a logo. Like, you had really low expectations, I felt, for this reveal. Or it was either you or Bloodworth who said, I don't really, like, we need to be, like, we should have a backup plan in case this is really boring. And
that sounds much more like Bloodworth.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. They didn't have very high expectations of this. And we went in there, and I was like, yeah, that's kind of true. And they showed way more than I thought they were. I was like, wow, they're getting all this stuff out of the way that usually we wouldn't see for another few months.
Sure. I mean, Jones, do you remember we did, like, a trailer score for it, the reveal of Ruby and Sapphire, what were they?
It was the worst trailer of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire.
That's my favorite.
Yes. Yeah.
The worst, Hubert, is the worst trailer I've ever seen in my entire life.
I'm watching it immediately.
Pikachu just walks, Pikachu just runs across the screen and they show two logos.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's like a 20-second video. And it was like, that's a flash animation. Why on earth why'd you even render this? Like,
yes. What? And so this is, you're right, Damiani. It's way better than that. It's a step forward. It's absolutely a step forward.
When they started to show the starters, like when it was like not actual game footage, like, what is this? And they're like, oh, here's the little vignette where you see their personalities. I was like, this is way more than I thought we were gonna get.
Yeah.
So I think it's just, you know, show us the area, show us kind of the tone. Give us something for us to fall in love with. You know, mm-hmm. Like, I love Score Bunny. I'm so sold on that character. So, like, okay, I at least have something. And I think if you are going to change it up, say they do add something kind of crazy that's even nuttier than armor that, like, maybe the fans are not ready for and really have to play the game to appreciate, I like that they kind of set up the basics. So then, okay, now that you know that now and you're kind of in on this game, like, all right, I'll be playing Sword or Shield. Okay, what about this? Now that we add this element to it, then that's going to be the conversation. Where it's not going to overshadow everything else, because it was kind of fun for, you know, people in the UK to be like, woohoo, you know, and, like, create memes about, like, you know, silly looking, you know, policeman Pokemon with the sticks, and, like, it was fun.
Will this game be the best selling game of this year? Under Call of Duty.
Are you counting combined sales?
Combined sales.
No.
Hang on.
What else? Mario. Mario Odyssey 2.
No.
Tough to say before E3, yeah.
Yeah, it's way hard to say before E3.
I mean, as of now, probably.
Yeah.
Barring anything else getting announced.
Like, it's going to have to fight with, like, Final Fantasy VII Remake a little bit.
Shenmue 3.
Shenmue 3. Like, the whole launch of the PS5. Like, it's got a lot to compete with.
Yeah. But Last of Us 2.
I think it'll sell very well. I think the wooden horse and the metal snake are going to look so dorky on the boxes.
The real question is, will it be the best-selling Pokemon game?
Yes. I think it's a huge question. I don't think it will be.
I think it's a tall order.
I think it's going to be better on the NPDs, because it'll be a $60 game.
How many, like, 3DSs had been sold by the time Sun and Moon came out? Like, 30 million,
I mean,
40
million? You're
forgetting
about, like, Game Boy.
But I think... Huber, we might have to, like, I miss Ian for fact-checking.
Yeah.
I think Red and Blue is still number one.
Red and Blue, crazy.
Which is insane.
That's Red and Blue is one of the biggest selling games of ever.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
But, I mean, in terms of revenue, dude, it's a $60 game as opposed to 40 or 35, you know? So, like, it could possibly make more money than those games. We'll see.
And that's what matters.
That's what this whole podcast is
the
about.
The bottom line.
Dollar bit. Y'all hear
total
that?
Total dollars.
It sounds like it's podcast halftime.
The following are the official sponsors of Easy Allies for the month of March. Hoag Law Business Law Firm. Whether you're starting a business at level one, stuck fighting the dreaded fundraising boss, or finally cashing out with a well-earned high score, you need a good business lawyer at your side. And now, that good business lawyer has a YouTube and podcast series, Virtual Legality. This week in Virtual Legality, Hoag discusses Starbreeze losing its rights to The Walking Dead, Bungie's $150 million bet on Destiny, and whether or not PlayStation or EA would owe you a refund on Anthem if it bricks your PS4. Check it all out at youtube.com/HOEG Law or at major podcast locations. L. Fannis. Sweet, Justice, a sound design company from the southern shores of the UK. They've worked on some of the biggest AAA titles, the most refreshing indie titles, and collaborated with the best development teams in the world. iKeyless.com is now Car Keys Express. Check them out at carkeysexpress.com/store. They continue to offer replacement car keys for less than the dealership and remain proud sponsors of Easy Allies. Use coupon code EZA at checkout for free shipping and 10% off of your order. The Hashcast, a weekly podcast by The Hashtagonist that aims to highlight the people behind the products and content that bring us joy. Every week, professionals from the gaming, movie, and tech industries share their stories to provide you with some unique insight on their careers, their passions, and why they love doing what they do. Whether you have an interest in game development, animation, or just want to hear all about how Able Gamers is making the world a better place, The Hashcast has an episode for you. Check out the latest episode with PR expert Will Powers and hear about how he entered the games industry through a reality TV show, his work at Sony and Deep Silver, and pick up some pro tips on how to market yourself more effectively as a streamer. If you want to see more of the Allies, check out the episodes with Brandon, Ian, or a very spooky episode with Amanda Troop. Mango. The Able Gamers Foundation, a nonprofit charity that aims to improve the overall quality of life for those with disabilities through the power of video games, creating opportunities that enable play in order to combat social isolation, foster inclusive communities, and improve the quality of life for people with disabilities. The link to donate is in the description. Fangamer.com. And our mega sponsor, River Horse Inc., an education services firm that focuses on IT industry processes and technologies. We specialize on the ServiceNow platform that is making the world of work work better for people. We are proud to be an authorized training partner of ServiceNow and are able to reach over 12 official platform courses. ServiceNow will be hosting their annual industry conference from May 5th to 9th in Las Vegas. River Horse will be teaching in the pre-conference training and hosting several events throughout the week. If any of the Allies will be in attendance, feel free to reach out to us on Twitter or send us an email so that you can join us at our company events and get some free swag. We are proud to support the Easy Allies and look forward to supporting all allies that work in the IT industry. Look us up at river-horse.com. All of these links are available in the description. Thank you to our sponsors. Able Gamers is also not a direct sponsor of Easy Allies. Another wonderful person chose to highlight them with their sponsorship.
Cool.
And isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Able Gamers getting two shout-outs in Podcast Halftime.
Did we ever congratulate iKeyless on like a good rebranding to Car Keys Express? Did we like say like good? That's an upgrade.
I think yeah.
That's
we,
a glamour.
We marked it at the time, but it's never a bad time to do it again.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's one of our oldest sponsors.
Oh yeah,
they've been around for a while.
That discount's there whenever you want it.
Whenever you want.
I almost kind of want to just break my key fob one day. I just imagine whenever I take it out. You know, and like, I always think, like, if one day I'm going to lose this, and I'm going to be like, oh, I love...
Yeah.
I'm going to be sad,
same dude.
But really stoked at the same time.
Yep. And actually, I get a sense of security out of it.
And I'll have a story to tell on the next podcast.
Bringing back an old segment, back from the GT time days.
I was watching the Pokemon trailer today.
Why?
Googled it.
Why?
Just to refresh.
Okay.
Googled it. First video that popped up. Game trailers. The trailer was on game trailers. I just thought of you.
You thought of Jones?
Yeah.
The, oh, that was nice.
The Pokemon trailer. Sword trailer was on YouTube.com/game trailers.
Yes. Got yes. it. Okay. Yes. Sorry. Explain that.
Yeah. Poorly.
You just throw the word game trailers out and I get emotion.
Yeah. I thought of you guys.
Thought of you. Water Cooler Ranch. Now, this is a segment in which it's not really based off a headline. We're not really talking about news. Just something that like came up in conversation. I'm like, you know what? That's a podcast topic, baby. I want to read everyone a message that Huber sent to me.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh.
This is 4:29 p.m. on a Wednesday.
Okay.
Is Red Dead 2 Online dead? 682 viewers, zero hype.
Yeah.
Is Red Dead 2, yeah. those 2 are the Online metrics. Dead?
682 people were watching at like prime time.
Prime time.
4-something p.m.
4:30 p.m. on the Pacific Coast.
Yeah.
And so like...
Like what happened?
I do like 17 million sales, right?
Yeah.
Why isn't this game bonkers online?
I don't know.
And so that's what I want to talk about with the panel.
Yes.
Why isn't this the hugest game online right now?
Is Red Dead Online classified different as Red Dead 2 in the Twitch game listing?
No, it's under Red Dead 2.
Okay.
So everything for Red Dead 2, even the online mode, was strictly 600-something people viewing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Most things I've read and watched about the online say no bueno.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not fun to play.
Jones, this is one of your favorite games. What's the deal with online, dude?
It's still in beta. Yeah. So there's that. Like, and I think in some ways, like, Fortnite's still in early access, whatever that means.
Yes.
I think Fortnite's going to be in early access for its entire life.
Why stop now?
They're never going to get out of that. Yeah.
Yes.
I think intentionally, the GTA Online did not have a beta. And so a lot of people were very frustrated technically with how that game worked. And so I think they intentionally were like, okay, we're going to wait longer, because I think GTA Online was like a week after launch, where this was a full month. So hopefully everybody can finish the campaign. They can get into the rest of the map and see the full extent of this world. So that isn't spoiled for them right away. Or if they're just jumping into online and they don't care about the campaign, they can just go right into it. And I get the sense that, I tried to say this as much as I can on various streams and shows, that like I was not expecting this to do the numbers that GTA did, because I just think for your average, you know, online shooter competitive gamer, there's not a lot in Red Dead, not as much in Red Dead that is available in GTA, certainly now with all of the content that they've added later, but just like the speed of that game, just the overall vibe. Like racing, I love racing. It's my favorite thing to do, because you don't have to expend ammo on GTA Online. Like gas doesn't cost anything. So I can just keep doing races, keep making money, keep getting XP. If I fail out of a race, whatever, I'll be in a new one in like 10, 15 minutes. Where like horse races in Red Dead are like, okay, you know, it's like, it's amusing. Like my favorite one is where you're just running around various checkpoints, and it's because it's fun to like run around a corner and somebody's on a horse comes straight at you and you're kind of like, you know, trying to
jousting.
Yeah, yeah. Basically. But I think I'm just completely making predictions here, but I think
that's all I ask.
I think kind of where they wanted to get with heists with GTA, like I think they're slowly going to start implementing things like that later on down the road. Like there is going to be more of a story focus with a lot of the updates they do in online. There is going to be more of like a synergy between, you know, you not just running in, going into a match, shooting some dudes and then leaving, kind of having a more of an idea of like you can intercept packages in one of the things in the open world. So like you'll see on the map, this guy's trying to take this from point A to point B, and you're like, oh, I'm going to take my gang and go, you know, take that team out. I think there's going to be entire updates geared around not only, you know, new gameplay modes, but things that, you know, are incorporated into the open world that invite those opportunities for you to like intentionally give someone a bad day by like stopping them from doing something that they're trying to do.
But I mean,
because I just think it's never, ever, ever going to catch up to GTA. It's just not going to be that.
I think that's the truth. I think that's really like the fact of the matter, right?
And it's such a unique, the reason why I don't have like a ton of answers and I'm not like up at night worrying about this is because like that game sold so well.
Right.
I think, you know, it didn't win as many awards as I thought it would, but it won a ton. Like it got a lot of recognition specifically for the cast and the writing and you know, it won a goatee here and there, but I compared to like so many other games that it's competing with, like you bring up Twitch numbers and it's like, well, all these other games are going, it's like Apex has online and that's it, that's all Apex has. So if that online stops being fun, the game is, it's over, you know. And I mean, it's kind of harsh to say, but like Fortnite, like Save the World is not the crux of that game, it's not the things keeping that game alive, like so many of its other competitors, Blackout, like obviously there's other modes to play, but like so much of it's online. Where Red Dead primarily is this massive single-player experience that already has brought them millions and will bring them billions of dollars. So it's not like, I think they can take their sweet time with online. I think it's the type of game that's kind of like a No Man's Sky, where it could, you know, like 8 months from now, like poof, some crazy update comes out of nowhere. And it's like, whoa, these modes are really fun. They're really trying unique, interesting things here that are very different from GTA, but I wouldn't expect from GTA. And I kind of don't want in GTA. I want Red Dead to focus more on characters and having me really understand that world. Like there's a lot of, you can like make your own courses and races and stuff in GTA. Is that like that customization, is that going to ever come to Red Dead? I don't know.
Yeah, what do you think, Huber? Is will it someday blossom into a rose?
I really don't know. I think it needs a drastic overhaul, really. I think
overhaul.
I really do.
Like from the beginning.
Like a full reboot of online. I really don't think what is in place now will become, like, at best, I think it'll be fine and sustainable, but I don't think it can become what we expect from Rockstar Studios, which is a masterpiece. like GTA Online has quite a legacy. Mm-hmm. Red Dead single player, GTA single player, you know, again, amazing. I judged these games a little harsher because of how big their studios and budgets are.
Yeah.
So I am naturally a little more critical than of something like Apex, where
and
it's
like me of Pokemon.
Small,
it's like yeah. your budget, you make yeah. so much money.
So I'm gonna grade them the harshest possible.
Yeah.
And I just don't think right now it's in a really good place. And Jones, you're bringing up like having cool opportunities to like interact and ruin people's day and online, and that's like what everyone is complaining about right now, because you have like two different camps. You have people who just want to play and hang out in online, and then you have other people who just posse up and go ruin their day. So these people aren't having fun. So it's like, who do you even cater to? It's
sure.
like, now you have to like cater to a specific people and then alienate other people. So I feel like they need an overhaul where like both types of players can have a good time.
Yeah,
and I don't know what that answer. My crazy theories leading up to Red Dead launch was like, let me be a saloon owner. Let me like hold square on my bar and just wipe it down for 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Let me have a rhythm game on the piano and people can tip me, and that's how I make my money, like Star Wars Galaxy style.
But that's interesting that you brought that up, though. Is that gonna is wiping the counter down at the bar gonna push it to 100,000 views on Twitch? Like,
right.
I just don't think it's that
dude,
game.
So, right.
those, or do yeah. I think it needs to be?
Those
like
GTA
role
players, though. The people who like
yeah.
were pretending to be
RP servers?
Yeah. That's going to be so awesome.
But I think like GTA sold so much and that company is so successful that they can afford to just keep these servers running and just keep trying new things.
Yeah.
I just don't get a sense of desperation. And I just, I went to a Red Dead concert and I bumped into PR and I told them like, hey, you know, I just moved into a studio. Like I was planning on playing lots of Red Dead Online, but like I didn't make you know time for it. And they were like, all right. You know, it wasn't like, well,
they've
you should,
got,
or like,
they've
we're just,
got all
we
the money.
Expected that. You know, it was just kind of like, whatever, it's still in beta. We have more stuff coming this year. Yeah. And I was like, okay, cool. It just seems... I think it's a cool position for a company like that to be in, to have this online arm. It's just not often that you hear of games like this that have this super meaty campaign.
Yes.
And then, you know, it's like if God of War had some cool online mode, like would be really like on God of War right now, where we're like, look at its numbers on Twitch. Rah! You know, it's
closest
like,
I would say
no,
is Last of Us.
It's amazing. Like, that's just some weird bonus on top of it.
Yeah.
Last of Us.
So I think it's...
And even Uncharted 4, though, had the multiplayer, but...
That wasn't big
they
on Twitch,
had,
right?
And they had like, to they had to stop because it's like not sustainable. They had to stop supporting it because they had to move on to Lost Legacy and Last of Us 2. So I'm wondering, it's like how many people now at Rockstar are going to be on GTA Online, Red Dead 2 Online, GTA 6 or Bully 2 or whatever that is. It's like, is it even worth the resources, or like how long are they going to focus on it?
I'd say less than GTA. I think it'll never reach GTA's heights, right?
No way.
And I think it's just the nature of that game.
Yeah.
It's a Western.
And I think we're having this conversation right now because GTA Online was such a runaway hit.
That's kind of it, too. It's like
it's
a curse of success.
But think about it. Like, this is just all, again, like, I love the team at Rockstar, but as hard as I try, I cannot get any sort of secrets out of them. I try to pull the Damiani tricks, and it just does not work.
The Damiani
Damiani knows more about Rockstar than I do. but it's like, you look at GTA Online, and like, here, this thing launched. I would put money on the table that it was way more popular than they had expected.
Yeah.
I think they did have stuff written, like specific, Lost and Damned, Gay Tony, like expansions. And then they were like, whoa, stop. You know, like we have the scripts written, we have the VO recorded, we have motion capture done, but like, why? Why would we do that? Like, why would we waste money on that? We need more costumes. We need the Fortnite model. Like, we need to do that. And so they had a shift within the company toward taking resources, applying them to something else. And I think it paid off at the end of the day. And I think we're kind of getting the opposite end of that now, where they were like, oh, okay, maybe Red Dead Online didn't have the smash hit launch that we thought it would. And maybe now we can, you know, kind of fashion it, not necessarily into something that out of desperation that like we need more players, but maybe make something that people can either be invested more in, like Huber was saying, like from a I feel at home here kind of that vibe, or like I feel like I'm building a home here, I'm building a ranch,
I'm
building
scared
a career.
To go everywhere.
Or maybe this is something that like once or twice a year I jump in for three straight solid weeks nonstop and then I'm out. You know, oh, that was fun.
Yeah.
That weird little heist thing that they added. Okay, I finally got the end boss or the last level, and maybe that opens up another
like World of Warcraft
another a couple more interiors or a new section of the map, or
there's
some new plays to go see in Saint Denis or something.
Cool.
Yeah. I think it'll surprise us. I don't think the numbers on Twitch will surprise us.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to break records ever.
I think I'm right there with you, Jones.
I want everything out of it.
Yeah. I'm introducing another new segment. This one's called News from Ian. You know, Bloodworth will send me headlines sometimes. I think a lot of the Easy Allies sometimes, you'll send me a headline. Mm-hmm. Very rarely do I ever get a headline from Ian.
Yeah.
Direct message to me.
Wow.
Like, man, you should talk about this on the podcast. You ready for this?
Yes.
It's a link from Kotaku.
Okay.
The headline says, Anthem players say the game is crashing their PS4s.
Yeah.
Ian wants to talk about this.
Crashing is kind of a kind way to put that, actually.
Because it bricks some.
I mean, yeah, it's turning them off, and they can't turn back on.
Right.
Supposedly.
Call that a hard crash.
Yeah. I think they can turn them back on now.
This article was updated.
Yeah.
You have to do the thing where you hold it down for 2 seconds, you get the second beep, and then you have to rebuild your database, which I've done once.
Terrifying.
Sucks. Yeah.
Terrifying.
Yeah, definitely sucks.
It's like, don't delete my 5 years of saved games, please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My Persona 5.
To me, this is kind of like, I shouldn't have done that. Obviously, it's bad, right? Obviously, like, they didn't do that on purpose. Obviously, they're doing refunds even.
You know what I love is EA came out and were like, help us.
Oh, send your crash reports.
Send the reports with when it crashes, how it crashes, what happened. Help us. So I like that. It's like, dude, we're here, open communication. So,
same.
That's good.
You're right. That's a good takeaway from this.
Yeah.
Otherwise, like, it just, I feel bad trashing on Anthem week by week. You know?
I mean, I don't.
Okay, Jones. Like, how much worse could this get for Anthem?
Gosh.
How much worse could, how did they recover from this?
That's the thing. It's like you're watching a boxing match. You
yeah.
know? And, like, Anthem was kind of got back up. You know, like, Little Mac was like, all right, I'm still in.
Don't get up.
And then it's bricking PS4s.
The nose is off at this point.
Yeah. I mean, the ultimate thing for me, and this is just, there's so many reasons to be frustrated at EA. Sadly, I know it's like a joke, it's a meme, but like, this game wasn't ready. And EA needs to admit that. They need to come clean with like, sorry. Like, we had a specific window we wanted to put this in and it didn't work out. And like, with that, you know, Jedi Fallen Order announcement right around the corner. And I saw some tweet from Casey Hudson today where he was like, everything's fine.
We're getting a ton of support.
There's gonna be tons of new stuff, man. Yeah. We're working so hard. You know, and it's just like barf. It's just a bad attitude.
The exclamation
to have.
Point. Yeah, I don't believe his exclamation point.
Yeah,
I don't believe he's walking into work cheerfully. And like, that's kind of why I like just like, yo, let us help. Like, just send us your crash. Like, just that sincerity is really what we're looking for, right?
And like, and their Twitter too. Like, a lot of over the weekend, a lot of people were. It was just crashing. A lot of people weren't able to play.
Yeah,
and they were like, hey, we have more updates. We're getting updates. Like, thank you for sticking with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So it's not.
Yeah,
like,
but I was also hearing reports like strongholds, which is like the end game. You just looping these things over and over again, like are vanishing. Like some people, they're like, I don't even see them on the map anymore. And there's like a weird fix about like how to get them back so they queue up on your map.
Jones, the insane part of this, and part of the like how we feel they're not being truthful with us. When this game was delayed out of last year into February of this year, EA says, look, it's just a timeline thing. Game's done. Game's ready to go right now.
Right.
We just thought it would look better as a fall game. It's a little crowded it would look better as a winter game. It's a little crowded this fall, so we're going to release it in February. It's good to go. We could launch it today. We totally could.
Crowded? And they're going to release Apex Legends like 2 weeks before?
Well, that was all Respawn. Respawn's like, hey, we want to launch right now. And like, Respawn gets to do what Respawn wants to do.
EA had no say in that, though. I find that hard to believe.
Me too. But from what they said in the interviews, they said, like, we chose this date. And this is what we chose when we wanted to do this.
True. But that's, like, my comparison between this and Red Dead, where it's like Red Dead doesn't need online. Like, online's it's a bonus. It's a gift.
Right.
You don't have to pay anything, you know, other than obviously you got to, you know, have the game disc. You have to have downloaded the game. But there's no, like, you know, subscription fee month to month. Whereas, like, and there isn't an Anthem at the same time, but, like, there's nothing to do. If this stuff doesn't work, if you can't get into strongholds, if your PS4 doesn't turn on, like, there's no game for you.
You have earned your refund.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's just get your refund. Put it in there. And then that will hurt Sony, and then that will hurt EA, and then that will prevent future games from being like this at launch.
And, like, it's interesting for me personally because, like, I think for a long time was an apologist for a lot of online stuff, because I always had just tremendous respect for people that would try to do that. Anytime you have servers or anytime you have, it's like if you do like a rehearsal for a party at your house and you invite like 5,000 people and you're just like, yeah, but 5,000 people are going to show up and 45,000 people show up and you're like, I don't have enough chips, you know? And everyone's like, you didn't know 45,000 people were going to show up? You're like, I legit didn't. I had no idea. Like, I didn't know I had that many friends or they had that many friends. So like when companies say that, when they're like, this was just way bigger than we expected, like I do give them the benefit of the doubt, but it's just like every time I try to think about that for Anthem, we're like, EA is like, well, we just haven't done a lot with multiplayer. It's like, no, you've done a ton of stuff. You have Battlefront 1 and 2, like it's Battlefield, like you have so much experience, you know, to understand how this stuff is going to roll out. You know, it's just like, oh, this type of game hasn't been made before. It's like, what is the Division? And it's like so many other examples that you could have learned from. There's just so many ways that, you know, so much information that was just there for them that they could have used to smooth out this launch.
Yeah, John's.
And this launch going smoothly is everything.
Yes.
Everything.
It's the entire game. Go ahead about Battlefield.
Oh, DICE recently kind of was finally said, like, the game wasn't ready when it shipped.
Oh, like, wow.
They kind of said it in so many words. We're like, hey, we had a really rocky launch, like, you know.
This ties in well to our new segment, Just Ask the Comments, in which last week we talked. I asked the comments because I didn't know, Hubert and Damiani. I didn't know when it's fair to blame developer talent, right? Like, we blame budget. We blame how much time they had, as Hubert just said. We blame sometimes marketing budget if a game is a failure. But like it never seems fair to say, like, maybe the developers are just bad, right? And so I asked the comments. I'm like, you're developers, you're around this thing, you see these things. Like, at what level is a factor talent, developer talent? So we got some interesting responses. This one's from Darknath, chiming in for Ask the Comments. I'm a game designer and in a small indie mobile game company, and we used to have a super talented team with some really extraordinary people, in my opinion. I'm confident that under other circumstances, the team would have made some really spectacular stuff. However, management has final say in everything. And even if the experts on the team advise against or for something, if management is convinced otherwise, they will make the decision they think is the best direction. And the team, of course, makes the game management decides. And sometimes that might result in a game that is less than what it could have been and see our studio go from 30 people now down to 7. Now, this is just from my experience, and it may vary a lot to other companies. I'm just providing my perspective. That was a perspective of a lot. A lot of people came to say, talent's a thing, sure. It is one of the lowest factors. One of the ones, I don't know if I pulled this one, but someone just said, like, management talent's the most important thing. Basically just being able to manage the people, like having that skill mm-hmm. is more important than being like an A-class animator or an A-class sound person. Because
I think of the Mafia 3 article that Schreier or Kotaku or someone just about the problems, and the team knew that there were fundamental problems with the design,
mm-hmm.
but they just kept going.
Yes. Yeah, I want to do, so let's do some more. This is from Maxime Dalphini. Sorry about that last name, mispronunciation. I did my best. To add to the discussion about talent, I work as a 3D artist, and I've worked for many different movie studios here in Montreal. And over 10 years, I can say that I've seen wildly varying degrees of team talent from project to project. Talent just isn't an infinite resource. Studios in my city fight rabidly for talented individuals. Talent is something that can definitely be cultivated if you work on a stimulating project or studios. I imagine it mustn't be that different on the gaming side. One super talented 3D artist I've been following for a long time is a guy named Raphael Grossetti. And today he's working at Santa Monica Studios and was art director on the latest God of War. And looking at how it turned out, I'm pretty sure talent does make a difference in the end. So yeah, a lot of people were willing to vouch for talent. A lot of people were willing to say, like, yeah, there are talented people out there. They do seek studios where they can best show their talents. And so that was interesting too. This idea of like a studio with a higher budget is able to afford more... A lot of people are frustrated about the word talent as opposed to skilled. Maybe more skilled artists, but I believe in talented artists. I believe in talented animators. I believe in talented, you know, texture artists. I believe in talented musicians. And I believe in talented coders. I believe that people have a vision for this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I realize that coding looks like a skill, right? Because it's just something the more you do, the more you learn, the better you get. I think that's all talents. That is
creative.
Right. Yeah. Some people do have an innate ability to have, like, music, right? Just like, oh, I see music, synesthesia, right? But, like, I do believe in talents, even in, like, a function job like that. So it's cool to see that perspective. My favorite story right here is from Winston. When I was working on a racing game for a young audience, a designer and I had to completely redesign and reprogram the racing controls from the ground up 5 different times over the course of 18 months because an executive's 4-year-old son could never understand how to play. Every time he tested the game, he would crash, lose the race, and cry. The track design, racing AI, character progression, and other gameplay features all relied on some basic assumptions about how the game was played, and we kept having to change how to play the game. So there was a cascading effect that negatively impacted the entire project. The fourth time I had to rewrite the controls, I told my wife that if they asked me again, I would find a new job. The studio was shut down less than a year after I quit. I love that story.
Yeah.
Wow.
So again, it kind of leads to, like, you need management talent, right? Like, like,
well, that's, yeah. I mean, that reminds, that's kind of what I thought of with Anthem when you were like, you know, like the executives were like, I mean, this, you know, Anthem's ready.
Yeah.
I can't you totally picture, like, the execs going and sitting down with everybody and playing it for 20 minutes and be like, this game's great.
You're right. Yes. You know, I can't imagine that.
I played
that,
it for 20 whole minutes. It's awesome. And you're like, clearly.
Yes.
Like, it's, you know, that's 10 minutes more than I played it at E3, you know, like, I don't know if your job, like.
And to me, it's also like such a Hollywood thing too. Just like, you know, like, my son knows a star, you know, like, book the baby shark people. And it's like, no, it's just like, your son's a child, you know, like, your son's dumb, dumber than Bloodworth. So, like, it's just like, I always like that idea of, like, somebody thinking that, like, their child has the vision. And so just like, well, if my child can't win, like, that we gonna need to redesign this game. I love that story. That happened, must happen in every single business.
I saw there was a new document making the rounds about the guy, one of the execs at Universal that wanted Back to the Future to be called The Man from Pluto.
Yes.
And he was like, so I have these other ideas. You can change the script and they can just keep mentioning Pluto just nonstop throughout the movie. And you're like, what? But then another crazy kid story was, can't remember his name, the guy who owned television in the 70s, but he created Laverne and Shirley and the, you know, but he created Mork and Mindy. And Mork and Mindy was originally on Happy Days. And that was because this guy who created Happy Days, his son was like, I don't like Happy Days. And he's like, why don't you like Happy Days? And he's like, he doesn't have any spacemen in it. And he was like, all right, we'll put a spaceman on Happy Days. And they cast Robin Williams, and he was Mork in one episode of Happy Days. And they were like, that's a show. And then there's Robin Williams' career, you know? So, like, sadly, it does work out sometimes.
Well, let's work this out. It's like, Gary.
No.
It is Gary. It is Gary.
I have a question for Jones. Have you seen the movie Stay Tuned?
With John Ritter?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So great. Happy Days reminded me of it because they do. They spoof so many things.
Sure, yeah.
It's nice.
Where is Stay Tuned? Where can I find Stay Tuned today?
I know. I want to watch it again. It's been a while.
John Ritter? Cool guy.
Oh.
The devil gives John Ritter
Gary Marshall.
Gary Marshall? No. Yes. Not that guy. No.
Gary. Happy Days created by Gary Marshall.
Then Gary Marshall said that, but that was not the guy that I was thinking.
It was Gary Marshall.
It was a different guy.
It was
the guy who, yeah.
All right. For that next week.
It was the
week.
Guy who created All in the Family. It was not Gary Marshall.
Last comment. Look, I try to keep language clean on this podcast. Like, Damiani doesn't. That's fine. I feel like censoring this one would be doing it a disservice. Just this one couple of sentences I really liked from this one. This is from Maud Beaumier Breton. Beaumier, probably. Okay. I've worked with shitty people from Pixar and extremely talented people in shitty TV shows. And finally, keep in mind that the same people who worked on the Emoji Movie worked on Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Good way to conclude that.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yep. They're all over.
Yeah.
Bad people at Pixar, good people on bad shows.
Yeah.
It's like, so in conclusion, I think we can never say, like, hey, what, maybe the developers are bad. You know, like, I think we can never say that. It sounds like it's the least of the factors, but I do still, in my heart of hearts, believe that there are talented people who are better than other people out there. in this video game world.
I was totally that nerd in 1999 that I was like, the costumes in episode one were amazing. Everyone's like, shut up about episode one. I don't care. I don't want to talk about it. I'm like, but the music was really just like, get out of my apartment. Like, the sound effects and the
pod
racers
were good. I'd kick you out too, Jones.
It's like, there's something you could salvage from this.
Dude, episode one's cool.
No, it makes me mad that the Jedi dress like Obi-Wan Kenobi does.
Oh, that's a whole thing.
Yeah. That's bad costume design, man.
Well, but yeah, that's not episode one's fault.
He's a Jedi in disguise, dude. He's trying to not look like a Jedi.
No, there's the whole narrative that Obi-Wan in episode four is only dressed like that because he's like pretending to be a sand person. He's like, I'm pretending to look like I'm nobody.
A normal man.
I'm just wearing this weird thing.
Yes.
And then they were like, oh, well, he's a Jedi, so all the Jedi should look like him.
Right. But Jedi should have like silver suits, dude.
They should have armor. They should armor evolutions.
Pokemon armor. They should have like Charizard armor. It's now time for love and respect.
Love and respect.
By the way, thank you to everyone who wrote in for just ask the comments. Yeah. That was fun and educational.
Please send this
for
to Damiani. He hasn't said a peep.
Yeah, Damiani, what's your favorite Star Wars movie?
Okay, all right.
Favorite Star Wars movie?
Yeah.
Probably Empire.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good call. Where do you rank episode one?
Phantom Menace?
Yeah.
Low.
Do you like it more than episode 2 and 3?
It's better than episode 2. I don't know about 3.
Do you like it more than episode 7 and 8? Do you put 1 above 7 and 8?
No, Force Awakens was definitely better. And I think Last Jedi was probably better than Phantom Menace.
Whoa. These rankings. Okay.
What about Solo?
No, where do you stop this. Stop this. This is one I think we've been here before, but like I'm always down to appreciate this. Hello, allies. Recently, I've been attempting to go back and play some PS4 titles I missed out on when they were first released and wanted to share away.
Yes,
I've been able to do this for any of the other allies trying to do the same thing. Some backstory. Due to a lack of finances, I am a late adopter to the current generation of systems, only having my PS4 for just over a year. While some games I've gotten day one, Kingdom Hearts 3, baby, so many others I have to go back and discover. The problem, games are real pricey still, even years after their release, and if you want to play and finish a 100-plus-hour game, I can't rent it somewhere without having to take out a bank loan. However, I found a successful workaround visiting my local library. My library has over time collected shelves and shelves of PS4, Xbox One, and Switch games that I can rent for 2 weeks and play for free. I support my library with my taxes, and they support my desperate need to play Persona 5. It's a win-win! I honestly couldn't believe it when I found out and wanted to share with others in case they also didn't know. This is a service they could be utilizing. Love and respect, Davi Lavon.
So cool.
Libraries, man.
Yeah.
Is this getting I feel really like cool. We've heard this before.
I think on GT time we may have talked about libraries. I'm willing to
bring
it up.
I feel like we got like, yeah, at some point someone said something down. I was amazed. It's like,
I could
do
it every week. I could do it every week. We could just like support libraries.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. that's a cool service.
More on the political podcast though. We'll get into that.
We talk about it a lot on the whole segment, podcast. Yeah. Again, that is $10,000 a month or up. You can listen to the Easy Allies political podcast.
You know someone's going to give $10,000 a month now.
It's just Mango. Mango's the only person who listens to
troll
that.
You, dude.
I was thinking it's like it's one of the Koch brothers. It's like one of the Koch brothers, and he just like sits and like listens to me talk about politics. Wrong. And he just
wrong. Wrong.
Just like right comment every episode. Time Koch wrong.
This was a fun game we played the first time. I want to do it again. Okay. Greetings, salutations, allies. It's been a while, so I thought I'd return with another round of, they said what? The real or fake review blurb game. I've chosen some of the top scoring games on Metacritic from the last 6 to 8 months and looked at their worst review. For each game, I've supplied a quote. The catch is that you, the panel, must decide if these are quotes from an actual review or completely made up. If the review quote is real, I included the score, love and respect, anachronistic timepiece. Okay, we get the game? Are these real quotes or fake from the worst reviews of the best reviewed games? Resident Evil 2. Resident Evil 2's plotline, characters, and dialogue are utterly disposable. Though I formed no attachment to Leon whatsoever and couldn't have cared less about the generic backstory surrounding the development of the G-virus that led to the zombie outbreak, I was still taken with the game's mechanics and level design.
Fake.
I'd say fake.
Real.
It's real.
Oh.
That's a real review.
It's a remake, so it's weird to get the take that they're like, so this story in this game,
yeah,
like, it's been around for a long time. It's surprising that you are here to review it, but have no context over what
originally happened. Formed no attachment to Leon whatsoever? That's cold. That score was a 70. All right, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Better than I thought.
Everyone is here tagline is reminiscent of a cheap buffet menu. There are so many options, it tells you, yet in the end, you still feel unfulfilled and slightly sick.
It's fake.
That's fake, yeah.
Buffet menu. Come on.
Damiani, non-committal.
I feel like that's... I'll go with real since you two said that.
That's fake. That's
okay.
Fake.
Okay, yeah.
But I was like, that sounds way too BS.
Apex Legends. The tightness of the shooting and movement are second to none, but the game's requirement to play in a squad of three only serves to frustrate players with AFK, toxic, or otherwise negative teammates, sapping much of the joy.
Nah, it's been good vibes. That's fake.
I'll go fake.
I'll go real.
That's fake. That's fake.
Oh,
hey, that's a good fake one. That's really nice. All right. Marvel's Spider-Man. As the game begins to introduce activities such as pigeon chasing and backpack collecting,
real.
It becomes clear that the game is struggling to find new uses for Spidey's talents.
So real.
A lot of this uninteresting open world busy work feels years out of date.
It's true.
That's real.
It's real.
That review is
not. I meant it's real. It's not true.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's a 60. That is a 60 for Spider-Man. Brutal.
Hot take.
Dragon Quest XI, Echoes of an Elusive Age. Given that you can confirm actions with the L2 trigger as well as the X button...
And it tells you when you want
to
play it.
You're practically encouraged to play with one hand while you check your phone. Or anything else more interesting with the other.
Fake,
yeah.
I know you can do that, and it's true, but it's a fake.
I'll go for real.
It's real.
Ooh!
Someone said that about this game, Huber. That you should be checking your phone with the other hand because it's more interesting. Gave it a 60.
Oh. It's harsh.
Red Dead Redemption 2.
Every review you know, or every game you know, is going to have a 10 and a 6.
Mm-hmm.
You know? No matter every game.
And
sure.
Sometimes you're the 6.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're the person who just dislikes this game the
totally.
Most.
Yeah. Totally.
Studios like Naughty Dog have proven capable of giving characters a consequential sense of weight without making it a challenge to navigate around a table of requiring you to hold down buttons to move at acceptable speeds. The chunky voice. Act of playing Red Dead Redemption 2 doesn't feel good so much as it feels, eventually at least, tolerable.
I believe that for sure.
I think it's
fake.
True.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's a 70.
I've read that review before. Maybe not that one specifically, but
exactly, yeah.
Welcome to the club.
Assassin's Creed Odyssey. For a game that goes out of its way to present choices to the player, nothing I did in Odyssey felt meaningful.
Oh, come on.
Choices essentially boil down to, are you nice or are you a jerk? A trend that I thought was already stale by the end of the Mass Effect trilogy.
Fake.
True.
That's fake.
Damn.
Anachronistic Timepiece, good writer.
Yeah.
It's not easy to write realistic fake reviews. I'm curious why you both thought fake immediately.
I always go fake if it's like really low hanging fruit. You know, if it's like that's an easy thing to go after any
gotcha.
Game that has, you know, decision making. Like Anthem has that, you know, and so it's an easy thing to be like, well, there are conversations, but it doesn't really amount to anything.
Mm-hmm. I get that.
Mass Effect was mentioned.
That was also,
you
yeah.
You know what? Fair. Kingdom Hearts 3. It's impressive that the plot of Kingdom Hearts 3 should be so incomprehensible, given that the only thing the characters do when they open their mouths is attempt to advance it. If you're a newcomer to the series, you may think during one of the many speech-laden cutscenes, I don't know what you're saying. Thankfully, the game's hero, Sora, voices this very objection and is met with the following reply. Nor should you, nor will you ever, for that matter.
True.
Yeah. I'll go real.
Fake.
That's real.
Yeah.
This person gave Kingdom Hearts 3 a 40.
It's never mind.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? We're all on the same team. Yeah. We're all writing reviews.
Yeah, we're all on the same team.
Yeah, sure. That's why we don't say which reviewer is which. You know what I mean? Like, don't attack them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Love that game.
That's a tough spot, though, is like reviewing the third of something if you haven't played the other ones.
Oh, of course.
You know? But it's like, that's okay.
No,
but
I mean,
it's still
like,
a tough spot.
That's the thing. Like, I almost understand a 40 for that game.
Yeah.
I'm almost like, if I'm being Ebert, dude, if I'm getting like raw film criticism and applying that to video games.
Yeah.
Sorry, dude. You get a 4. Despite the game, like, it's a 9.5, right? Like, it's like the most fun you could have, like, connected to a television. Like, when you get down to critique, you have to be like, dude, this is all... Okay. You're right. That's why I don't review the games. That's why I don't know.
The only thing is, there was a lot of people when Infinity War came out where they were like, well, I mean, you got to see the other movies. And it's like, you bet your ass you got to see the other movies. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no. No, that wouldn't be my criticism for it.
Different cases.
Each week I try to post something to Love and Respect, and I will occasionally scroll through the comments and like the ones that I would like to see on the podcast. I was curious if the patron likes factor into Kyle's choice for which comments get selected. Love and Respect, Morgan Mohalla. Nope. That's it for Love and Respect. Time for bets. Next week's bet. Devil May Cry 5 launches Friday, March 8th. How many heads with silver hair will be on the back of the box? Jones?
4.
Michael Damiani.
5.
Oh, I thought it was
Michael Huber.
5.
And I said 3.
Ooh.
Lock that in.
We got the over, Damiani.
Yeah, and you'll get 2 points. That's what will hurt there.
No.
No, I should be. I should honor Morgan's question a little more. Generally, like, if it's like a thing that people are concerned about, if it gets a lot of hearts, I'm like, man, people are really concerned about that this week. Yeah. But if it's like a joke that a lot of people like, I'll still pick the jokes I like more than the other jokes. To answer that question, last week's bet was about Dead or Alive 6. What I did is I looked up the top 10 most recent reviews on OpenCritic. How many times would I see the word ladies? Jones, you bet 7. Bloodworth bet 8. Brad bet 2. I bet 2. Ian bet 0. Looked at 10 reviews. Number of times I saw the word ladies. Once. And not calling anybody out. Character models still look great as ever, especially the female ladies with the ample bounce physics.
Whoa.
Female ladies.
The female ladies with the ample bounce physics.
Oh, what?
Especially the female ladies with the ample bounce physics.
Well, I was like,
hey, was that a true story that they're patching in more physics for it?
I don't know.
I don't know if it was true or not. I saw a headline on Twitter that was like,
don't go spreading rumors.
I know, I know, I know. That's why I was asking if it was true or not.
Fair enough, fair enough. So what's complicated about that, we had 2 bets and 1 0 bet all win. They're all one away from one.
Damn.
Yeah. So Jones, I did at least like mitigate it, right?
D20.
Yeah.
So the gorgeous gorillas are getting 2 and the scrappy little pigs get 1. Huber, you're in the Brad seat with me.
Every single time, this guy.
What?
Brad.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, he's good.
Every single time for me.
Hey, he's good. He's good.
Jeez.
That brings our totals to Scrappy Little Pigs 4.
Wee!
Gorgeous Gorillas 5.
All right. You're just jealous. You're not a gorilla.
I'm not jealous. I'm not a gorilla, dude.
You love Donkey Kong. You're jealous.
I love Donkey Kong. He's not a gorgeous gorilla.
Dude, he's gorgeous, that hair, dude.
Mm-mm.
Come on.
That's natural. That just kind of whips its way up that way.
Because it's gorgeous.
I have to talk about patreon.com/easyallies right now. If you give $5 or more a month, you get this podcast 2 days early. You get it on Wednesdays as opposed to Fridays. And you get exclusive access to all our $1 shows. If you give $1 a month, you get exclusive access to spoiler modes, Cup of Jones, in which Jones will answer any question you ask, serious or otherwise. And if you give $10,000, you get exclusive access to the Easy Allies Political Podcast. And that's not the name of it, by the way. It's not called the Easy Allies Political Podcast. Nobody curious what it's called?
I was going to say.
That's right. That's all right. You know what?
I didn't want to put you on the spot.
Didn't want to step on your toes there. I was waiting for the rest.
Honestly, had one prepared. I was like, yeah, you know what? If somebody asks, I got it in my back pocket.
Hey, $10,000 will get you that reveal.
Yeah,
that
yeah. We'll get, yeah. We'll get the reveal of the title. Okay. Oh, no. I got bad news. You know that wizard who hates us? Kasarar? He just sent me an IM. Apparently, he bought the ingredient that the characters look different on the overworld map than they do in their character in their portrait arts.
So he's got to know when we shoot this podcast.
Yes.
Are we?
He's like got some observers or something. He's got like some
time
bat,
stone,
you know?
Dude.
Yeah.
Time stone.
Yeah.
Are they space stone? Can he see us? Can he hear us? Can he see us and hear us?
Most likely, man. Yeah, he just
that's
says
creepy.
He just says yes. He just says yes, I can hear you right now. Like, we're dealing with wizard stuff. I kind of want to leave Glenny's cauldron alone, but like I don't want to let Glenny down.
We got to support Glenny.
We have to support Glenny.
Yeah. Just we haven't been in the studio for so long, and or we've only been in here for like, you know, weeks, just 2 months, and for something like that to already be set up.
It's like,
shocking.
We do, like, I don't, it's not at like a hex point, right? We're not going to get hexed yet. Yeah. So I feel okay. I feel comfortable continuing to build this most vile video game.
Oh, it's getting good or bad.
Hubert, you and I are going to draft the rights and responsibilities. One of us gets Twitter handle. One of us gets final word. One of us gets to promote a video. And one of us gets to sign off with our trademark sign off.
Cool.
What do you want first?
I want to promote a video.
Okay. I want trademark sign off.
Okay. I'll give you the final word.
So you're taking Twitter handle?
Yeah.
Okay. Give it away.
At Michael B. Huber.
Mm-hmm.
I want to promote BoxSpeak.
Okay.
BoxSpeak, dude. It's not too late if you missed it. Give it a go. Check it out. If you've already watched it, watch it again. Really good stuff. A lot of work went into it. BoxSpeak's hype. Don't sleep on it. Just because if you missed the first one or the second one, you know, we have this paralyzing fear of like, I fell behind, I'm two episodes back.
Mm-hmm.
Just go back, watch them all in one sitting. It'll take you 30 minutes.
It will take longer than that.
Yeah.
It's like an hour.
Yeah.
It'll take you an hour.
I was thinking about it. I think, I wonder if you could jump in on episode 5 and still have a good time. I think you could.
Yes.
I do think you could.
Definitely. But if you are the type like me that needs to watch everything in order.
Yeah.
MCU style.
Mm-hmm. Because here's the thing is like, episode 5 is way better than episode 1. I almost want to show people 4 or 5 first.
It's like Gotham, man. It takes time.
Yeah, it takes
you
time.
You gotta lay the groundwork, and then once all the groundwork is laid,
mm-hmm.
you put your foot on the gas.
We call it laying pipe.
Yeah. Pipe gets laid early on,
mm-hmm.
and then Bossman goes for it.
What we call it.
We do.
Yeah, laying pipe.
Infrastructure.
It came from... It came from this Hollywood producer who came to talk at my school one day. She's talking about how to build narrative and like what to put in the pilot. And she's like, we call this laying pipe. You have to lay pipe in the pilot. I don't care what you think laying pipe means.
Yes.
To me,
and that has the name of the political podcast.
Pipe. Oh my God.
With my final word, I want to, look. Like, I did a bad job with shouldn't have done that last week. I just, like, thanks for sticking around. Thanks for sticking with us. Like, I realize there are people who get frustrated that, like, when we talk about, not always political issues, but social issues, like, obviously that, like, I don't cover them all. I cover them when I think they're interesting. I think this thing with Red Candle Games, genuinely interesting. But, yeah, obviously I get a lot wrong. I thank you for your patience. I thank you for correcting me with kindness. And, I like that we're getting smarter, we're getting better. Like, I'm going to be bad for years and years, but I appreciate that you are carrying me with you. Thank you. Jones, I want to give you a rare opportunity to hop onto my final word, because it feels like you have
something for
it.
I loved it. No, I thought that was great. I was happy about it.
Oh, okay, great.
I was happy about it.
Cool.
Feels good.
Tomorrow is forever all
they have like this set number of times that they have to keep sneezing.